The King James Bible came into a context that was political and ecclesiological. It was a time when England was undergoing its own reformation and figuring out how to be how to articulate that. And up until that time, there were sort of two English Bibles available to the people to read. One was the Geneva Bible, which had a strong Puritan bent, particularly in its annotated versions. And there was the Bishop's Bible, which was produced by the leading figures in the Church of England. And the King James Bible was an attempt to unite people around a single English translation and to allow all of the various factions within the English Church to read the same text and to share it. So it played a very important function in bringing people together around the Bible.
It did, and of course the prayer book and the prayer book revisions subsequently, 17th century, encouraged the daily reading of Scripture, and presumably it was the King James Version that was the sole book read in churches.
It was, yes. So it was very important, and it quickly became, for many people, the only book they owned. For many lay people, the only book that they owned. And so it was a heavily read book and had a profound influence on culture and on thinking and on speaking.
Now let's move on a little from the King James Version. Since then, there have been many revisions and various attempts, some more successful than others. I'm thinking about the Moffat, the Knox, the RSV, Good News NIV, and so on. Katie, what do you think? Will they last as long as the King James? Will they endure in the affections of people?
I think that it's unlikely they will ever have the kind of dominance that the King James held for as long as it held. Each of these translations were born in a period that really valued the diversity of translation, and I think that that's actually a very good thing. That as we're reading the scriptures, we have the opportunity to look at a variety of translations. And it's one of the things I encourage my students to do, really, to look at a variety of translations, because any translation is its own interpretation.
Yes.
Translators make interpretive decisions in choosing the wording that they do, in making decisions about how to correctly construe a verb or a noun, what the subject of a sentence is, these kind of things. And if we only read one translation, we have a much harder time seeing where those decisions have been made. When each of us are able to read a number of translations, then we can begin to know when a decision has been made for us, and we're not blindly accepting an interpretive decision of the translator's point.
Yes, and Scripture itself, of course, speaks about itself and its own authority. According to Paul's letter to Timothy, all Scripture is inspired by God, or God-breathed, I suppose we could say, and written for our learning. Is there a sense in which Christendom ascribes to this view still today, that Scripture is indeed, all of Scripture is God-breathed, as Paul says?
It's certainly a text that becomes very important and crucial in discussions about the role of Scripture.
Yes.
And so it's one that as Christian people we frequently return to. It becomes important then for us to articulate what exactly we mean when we say that Scripture is God-breathed. How does that operate? And a variety of different positions on interpretation read it, or different positions on inspiration read it in different ways. But I would say that it goes to the heart of the Christian relationship with Scripture that we do agree, whatever we end up deciding inspiration means, that we agree that it is indeed inspired by God.
Yes. Well, now, Katie, you're an interpreter of Scripture as well as being a teacher of Scripture. Let me ask you to step into prophetic shoes now for a moment. 400 years from 1611, we're still reading the King James Version. Many people still read it. 400 years on from now, 800 years old, where will the King James Version of the Bible, how will it be thought of, do you think? And will it still figure in people's vocabulary and in their thought processes?
Gosh, it's hard to think 400 years from now. I do think, if conversations like this are happening about Scripture, if people are talking about translations of Scripture and translations that have been important to the church, it's going to be very difficult to have any length of conversation about translations that have been important to the church without talking about the King James. I think the King James has already moved from the kind of complete dominance of Christian thinking about Scripture in English that it had, but certainly it retains an important place and will continue to hold some place in people's thinking about, especially what has been.
I think so too.
Christian thinking.